So this is the hour power service, and our goal is to be done within an hour, giving you powerful nuggets to help you through preparing for the end times, okay? This is part three of what to do to keep wide awake, alert, and watchful. Now, the reason why we're doing this is because too many Christians have gotten complacent, and they're challenged. They're going to have some real problems when these hard, challenging times come, or as I believe, the end times are coming quickly, okay? Now, if you look back through the history of what happened, what had the Hebrews 40 years when they were afraid to take the promised land? They sat out there in the desert for 40 years and they died because they wouldn't believe God's promise. Okay? All right? They were supposed to keep wide awake, alert, and watchful. They should have not listened to the lies of the devil who said they were like grasshoppers in the sight of giants. And the question is, do many Christians believe they're grasshoppers today? I believe the answer is yes, they do. So many Christians out there don't know their authority. They don't know what they're doing. And they don't know how to do this. Now, you're going to go to Romans 8:37 in a couple minutes here. And I hope you like the new program. We're starting to put the scriptures up on the board for you, at least some of them, so you can follow along. So Romans 8:37. Why do Christians believe they are like grasshoppers? Romans 8:37 is coming up. And we have to believe that they're just afraid of taking on the challenges. They've listened to the lies of the devil, and they have fallen into complacency. They're falling into complacency. Can we be complacent? Can we really wait around for Satan to attack? Or do we need to get ready to go? We can no longer passively sit by and think God's going to do it all at some point in time. Romans 8:37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So let's look at that a little bit. More than conquerors. That means we are more than conquerors. It doesn't say God comes in and conquers for us. It doesn't say that. It says we are more than conquerors. How do we conquer? We use the word of God. Okay? We must keep wide awake, alert, and watchful. You know, now, the best way to really hear the voice of God, to know what you're supposed to do, is to get alone in a private place, spend more time communing with God and praying. Okay? Now, what is communing with God? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 13:14. Okay? And we're talking about communion with God. Praise Lord Jesus. Okay. So the true meaning of communion is to share a talk with him as your Abba Daddy, your Heavenly Father. When you're in relationship with the Holy Spirit, you are sharing with him, and he is sharing with you. There's a sense of communion. That's the Adam and Eve experience when God was in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. And as we commune with God, we are ready for to hear his word. So what do? First thing you do is you turn off your TV, your computer, and your cell phone. Okay? Now you'll see on your screen now, 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Okay? So we turn off your computer, TV, cell phone, and be in a private place where you can hear God's voice. Now, if you hear things that are distractions, it's probably not from God. Okay? We're going to go to Ephesians 3:20 in a minute here. But when you're alone, listening to God, hearing his voice, that's where you're going to get your instructions of what to do. Now, you're in a war whether you like it or not. That's the bottom line. You're in a war. And Satan is devious. And he hates you. And too many Christians are saying, oh, well, my God will protect me. I don't have to do anything. But you don't. You need your instructions from God. Can you imagine an infantry group out in the battlefield and not listening to their commander where to go or what to do? They would get slaughtered. Okay. We go to Ephesians 3:20 now. Because the reason we do this is because with God, not to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all, we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Okay? So God's power in us is going to give us the ability to have victory in these upcoming battles, these challenging times. Okay? Look at the power that God has. And you have this power inside of you when you get the full manifestation. Okay? With a few fishes and loaves, Jesus fed 15 to 20,000 people with leftovers. You can do exceedingly abundantly great things for God too. Now, the next verse coming up is going to be Matthew 7:23. You can go ahead and get that ready for you. One of our orders from the Lord is to occupy until Jesus comes. Now, to do this, you got to keep wide awake, alert, and watchful. Now, what does occupy mean? In this case, if you look at the word occupy, it's like at the end of World War II, the United States occupied Japan. We were the conquering army, but we controlled their land. We occupied them. We told them what to do. Okay? It's very interesting. When Karen and I got married, the president of Guatemala sent us some china, beautiful set of china, and I turned over and says, made in occupied Japan. And that was really interesting to me. Now, a little history lesson for the fun of it. Until we beat Japan, they'd never lost a war. You ever hear about Genghis Khan? Well, his grandson or great-grandson, Kublai Khan, I forget which one it was, tried to attack Japan, and Japan ended the Khan dynasty. They were a formidable force for hundreds of years. They defeated Russia one time in a war. So for us to occupy them was a tremendous thing. Now, what's interesting about the United States, though, is unlike you've heard of Nazi-occupied territories, they raped, pillaged, and burned everything, the United States went and occupied Japan and rehabilitated the place and brought it back up to normal standards so they could live on their own. And then from 45 to 52, we did that, and then we left them on their own, which is why they're such a great ally of ours today, because we treat them with respect and honor. Now, when we occupy, we will do it like what the United States did at the end of World War II. We will treat them with respect, honor, but our point is to set dominion up on these lands, the lands you're standing on, be it your homes, be it your workplace, be it whatever you're supposed to do, whatever God tells you to do, you occupy that and take control over it. And you keep the enemy away from it so that God can do what he wants to do in there. Nowhere in the Bible does it say to wait and do nothing until Jesus comes. It's not there. And too many Christians are in la-la land waiting for God to come back and not do anything. Okay? Now, the Bible doesn't actually say the Christians will be taken out just before trouble comes. We don't see that in the Bible. So we must be ready for when the trouble comes. And if you occupy now, you'll be prepared for it when the time comes. Now, you do not want to hear what I believe are the scariest words in the world. And that's Matthew 7:23. I never knew you, depart from me. Can you imagine that? Oh, but God, I've been a Christian all my life. I never knew you, depart from me. Why? Because you're not doing what God's telling you to do. Okay? We must be very careful to hear what God wants us to do and do it. Okay? It's much better to hear the words as in Matthew 25:23. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. And we'll do that by occupying our territories. Now Luke 19:12 says, therefore a certain nobleman went to a far country to see for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants, delivered them 10 minas, and said unto them, occupy until I come. So this is a word that's going down. Occupy until I come. Occupy until Jesus comes, or wait on God, does not mean sit around, do nothing, and expect the second return of Jesus for it to happen. Now, waiting on God. These verses are not going to be coming up on the screen, but you can write them down. James 5, 7 and 8. James 5, 7, 8. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until he gets the early and late rains. You too be patient and strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Okay. The next verse will be Luke 12, 35 to 40. Just write them down. Okay, we can look them up later. That's Luke 12, 35 to 40. Okay. Keep your loins girded and your lamps burning. Be like men who are waiting for their master to return home from the marriage feast, so that when he returns from the wedding and comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. So we are waiting to be ready for the Lord when he comes. Okay. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are those servants whom the master finds awake and alert and watching when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will gird himself and have them recline at the table and will come and serve them. And if he comes the second watch before midnight or the third watch after midnight and finds them so blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are those servants. But be assured of this, if the householder had known what time the burglar was coming, he would have been awake and alert, watching, and not have permitted his mouth to be dug through and broken into. So you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming an hour and a moment when you do not anticipate it. Okay? Romans 8, 23 to 25. Just write this one down. Romans 8, 23 to 25. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons and the redemption of our body. For in the hope which has been saved, but the hope which is not hope, but he who hopes for what he already sees, we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. Now, think about this. We sold many verses of waiting on the Lord. We are going to wait for him. We're going to occupy our territory until he comes. We must take control. Okay? Now, one of my favorite verses in here, sections I should say, is the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. This is Matthew 25, 1 to 13. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now five of them were wise and five were foolish, and those who were foolish took their lamps with no oil on them, with them. And the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Okay? At midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest it should not be enough for us and you, go to those who sell and buy for yourselves. I didn't know there were 7-Elevens back then where you could go at midnight and buy up some oil somewhere. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him, and the wedding door was shut. Think about that. We have to be ready. We cannot be complacent. When Jesus comes, he's expecting us to be ready for him to be there. And you're getting the teachings here at ABC to be ready for when he comes. Okay? Afterward, the other virgins came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answers, surely I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, you neither know the day nor the hour which the Son of Man is coming. So let's go back here. I do not know you. Anybody who's not ready for Jesus when he comes is going to be left behind. The door's going to be shut. He's not going to know you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter about works. It doesn't matter. It's to be ready for him when he comes. That is so important. Okay? Now, another section I love is the parable of the talents. This is Matthew 25:14-30. I'm going to go through this because you all know it pretty well. And you can look it up later for yourself. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered goods to them. One he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on to a journey. Now, a talent was hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of gold or silver. It wasn't a few bucks, okay? Then he had received the 5 talents, went and traded with them, and made other 5 talents. And likewise, one who received 2 also gained 2 more. But who received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. Okay? Are you using all of your gifts from God to the fullest ability to grow his kingdom? God expects a return on his investment. He's invested heavily in you. He gave his son for you to die for you. And his request is that you go out and build his kingdom. You've been given gifts, talents, something that you can use to build his kingdom. Do not bury it in the ground. If you're not sure what it is, go back to what we said before. Spend some time with God, ask him what he wants you to do. If he tells you to do something, he's prepared for you to do it. Either you've got the talent, or you got the connection, or you got something that will work to make it come, okay? After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. God wants a return on his investment in you. You want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Okay? You are faithful in a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You want to enter into God's joy because you've done what he wants you to do. You've grown his kingdom some way, somehow. Okay. He who had also received 2 talents came and says, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You faithful over a few things, I'll make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. If you're not willing to do what he's telling you to do now, you're not going to get the joy of the Lord later. And you'll be like, okay. Then the one who received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gather where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here is what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. At the coming I would receive back my own with interest. So take the talent from him, and give it to the one who has 10 talents. It's not socialism. He doesn't spread everything around everybody evenly. He gives to those who are willing to work for his kingdom. He gives to those who are willing to do what he tells them to do. And if you're not willing to do what he tells them to do, he's going to take it away from people. Okay? Perform. Do something that God wants you to do. Your future depends upon it. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have abundance. He who does not have, even what he has will be taken away, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So I'm asking you, not to scare you, but to warn you, to get ready, that are you doing what you need to do to be ready for the second coming of the Lord? Okay. Now, Continuing on, Matthew 25, 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and the holy angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on the left. The king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you for the foundation of the world. For while I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And the righteous will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When do you see a stranger take you in? When do you see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when do we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did to one of the least of these brethren, you did it to me. Now, you're not going to be making a bunch of money to ride the high life. You can be blessed, no question about it, but you're supposed to do your talent to bless his kingdom. And that's what we're talking about right here. Okay? I like to say that the Good Samaritan could have been the Good Samaritan if he didn't have the money to be the Good Samaritan. Okay? So the question is, what are you doing? Okay? Now, what I want you to do this week, we give you a couple of assignments, and I'm waiting for some emails back on what they are. You know, take authority to stop the devil from attacking you. But this week, I want you to find a quiet place. Half an hour a day. Just you and God. No interruptions. No computers. No TVs. No cell phones. Okay? Spend some quiet time developing your ability to hear God. Do a praise and worship song. Pray in your spirit language for a little bit. Then be quiet. Take out a pad and a pen and listen to what he has to tell you. And he will give you instructions on what to do. Say, Lord, what do we do today? What do you want me to do? He will lead you and guide you. He will never forsake you. But whatever he does, he's setting you up for the coming challenges ahead. And too many Christians out there are not doing what they need to do to get ready for the end times. So as I'm encouraging you now, be awake. Be ready. Be watchful. Occupy your current territory and look for God to expand your tent stakes and give you more and more control, which will help set you up for the challenging times. None of us know exactly how it's going to come down, but I do know, without a doubt, that our God is ready for it. And I do know, without a doubt, he's ready to get you ready for it, too. Time with God. Start with a half an hour a day. Schedule it in. Pencil it in. Nothing. Let nothing interrupt that half hour a day. You'll be amazed at how your life gets more peaceful. How things start to work out better. Now, rest assured, when you start this, Satan's going to try to interrupt it. Rest assured there's going to be a phone call or something come in that you feel like you have to take right now. Rest assured, don't. Put it on hold. Get a message. Get back to him later. Okay? If you're sitting here signing up for God, God will make sure that there's nothing that important that you can take away from him, his time, either. And you put it down the counter. God, this is the time. Ask God, what time do you want to meet with me? Okay? If he says 8 o'clock in the morning, you put 8 to 8:30, block it out. That's your time with God. That's the most important thing you could ever do. Can you imagine? General MacArthur calls a meeting, and there's a couple colonels in there and a couple majors, and Suddenly, one says, oh, I'm sorry, I got to go outside and take this phone call. I don't think so. Okay. Treat God like your commander in chief. He's going to give you the instructions. They're going to help you win the battles ahead. So in the name of Jesus, we do that. So now I'm going to pray for y'all. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise, worship, we glorify your holy name. We thank you for all you've done for us. We bless the people here today. Lord, they're reaching out to you. They're here on a Friday night. They're not out partying, having fun. They're here on a Friday night to listen to you, Lord. We ask that you reach each one of them. And as they set up their time this week for to be with you, that you answer their call. They hear your voice. They discern that it's you and only you and not a lie. The devil coming to counterfeit you. That they know your voice so well, they know it's you, to receive their instructions to proceed. And Lord, bless them immediately in Jesus' name. Amen. And I look forward to some testimonies in Jesus' name. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise, worship, and glorify you. We thank you for all you've done for us. As we get our communion ready, please, everybody, go ahead and CRRB now, in Jesus' name. So Lord Jesus, we thank you that you went to the cross for us. You took all those lashes and beatings and the crown of thorns and everything that you did for us. In the night of the Last Supper, you said, this is my body. Take this. Eat this. As you do this in remembrance of me. So Jesus, we remember all that you did for us, and we thank you for it. As we take this body right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, after you took the bread, you gave the wine. So this is my blood, the blood of everlasting covenant. This blood washes us white as snow. And we thank you, Lord, that through your blood we've been healed by your stripes. And we're cleansed of all unrighteousness. And we take this now in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name.